What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well met, fellow adventurers. We are once again playing as Sir Croakington. But before we go to Thorn Island, Sir Croakington has just had a quick run through Shimmerpool Cave and defeated a lot of water elementals. And now it's time to get the box. Now we know wading into the pool doesn't work, that just drains your Neville Reserve, which means you can't even try the other options. So I said there's two magics, telekinesis or elementalism. Telekinesis is a slightly higher level, which means it has a slightly higher chance of success. So I'm going to use that. Oh, failed again. Okay. Could I quit without... I'm going to try quitting without saving. Alright. Went through Shimmerpool Cave again. Beat the big elemental. Used telekinesis again. And this time, it worked. 8 XP to telekinesis. You channel your power of telekinesis and focus on the stone box at the bottom of the pool with great... Seemingly unnecessary strain, the box begins to twitch. Firmly, in your telekinetic grasp, the box slowly levitates out of the pool, floats through the air, and comes to rest at your feet. After examining the container and discovering that it's not locked, you carefully open it and peer inside. Inside the stone box, you find a small quantity of gold and a glowing blue gem. It's a very small quantity of gold, it's just 41 gold tokens. The glow emanating from the gem grows brighter when you reach to pick up the stone. Now, glowing gems, Sir Croton has a lot of experience with glowing gems, but usually it's positive. So I'm going to take the glowing gem. The instant your fingers close around the glowing gem, a powerful sense of rejuvenation washes over you. Your stamina points have been fully restored, which could come in handy a bit. Although admittedly not that much, because by the time you've got it, there's probably nothing more to do here, and you'll probably get to a safe spot before your next quest, but oh well, maybe it'll help you restore yourself to finish off the elementals. Anyway, 32 experience to general and 8 XP to all skills and powers. I'm not sure, because this dungeon apparently hasn't been fully documented on the wiki. But I have a suspicion that these amounts can vary And so you might even sometimes get up to, I don't know, 128 to all skills and powers. But that would be rare, like a percentage chance. Although maybe it just tips out at 64. Well, anyway, So what else can go through Shimmerpool Cave a lot and see whether that's how it goes. As sensation fades, the blue gem stops glowing and swiftly disintegrates into a fine, silvery powder that slips through your fingers. After making sure you haven't overlooked anything, you step away from the stone box. There's a shimmering water elemental. Suddenly, an unsettling quiet falls unexpectedly over the Shimmerpool Cave. And that's the cave cleared. Here's some loot to loot. To looty 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 loot loot loot. And 34 gold. Anyhow, I'm just going to pause until we get to Thorn Island. Okay, time to make my way to Thorn Island. Less than a quarter mile north of Irongard, tucked behind a thicket at the edge of the lake, you find Elbwyn's grey boat. The small craft has obviously seen better days, but you carefully examine it and judge it to be worthy enough to make the voyage to the island. With the chill wind sweeping off the lake, you push the boat into the water and climb aboard, as you prepare to row out to Thorn Isle. As the lake's western shore gradually retreats behind you, the dark, foreboding spectre of Thorn Isle rises out of Iron Wayne's frigid depths, like the spined back of some terrible swimming beast. You carefully maneuver the craft to approach the isle from the north, where you make for a low, stony patch of ground, the back of a broad cove, the only accessible landing spot on the entire isle. As you reach the mouth of the inlet, thin, rolling banks of fog suddenly sweep in across the water, all but obscuring most of the island. Undeterred, you maintain a steady weaving with the oars, stopping only when the bottom of the grey boat slides against the stones in the shallows. You pull the boat ashore and cautiously survey your surroundings. You're standing on a stony stretch of ground that slopes down to the north to meet the frigid, lapping waters of Lake Ironwayne. To the south looms the iron's dense, tangled interior. A thin mist slowly curls off the surface of the lake and drapes itself over the isle. Despite the deep quiet that hangs over the island, you find yourself plagued by a nagging sense of dread. Feels as if you're being watched. Well, probably am. Who knows what's on this island, but they'll definitely be curious about me turning up. Explore Thorn Isle. A thin veil of mist covers the tangled terrain that dominates the inner regions of Thorn Isle. You curiously note that the usual Thorner one might expect to find in such a setting, birds, squirrels and the like, are nowhere to be seen. An unsettling silence hangs heavy over the island. Okay, no birds. Okay, squirrels, maybe they just couldn't make their way here because it's just slightly too far away from the land for them to swim over. Although, presumably, they can swim. I don't know. I don't know. Can squirrels swim? If you know, you could tell me. Although you probably won't. Alright, anyhow. But birds? Birds can fly. That's their thing. Why wouldn't they turn up here? I mean, unless of course all their prey isn't here. But still, it'd be a place to hide. Curious. Anyway, explore. Your exploration of the Tangled Isle is suddenly interrupted by an encounter with a pair of hellebore beetles. Begin combat. The hellebore beetles snap at you with their powerful pincers and are slain. You pause to catch your breath and check over your equipment following the defeat of the two hellebore beetles. At last, certainly you're no longer in any imminent danger here. You once again set off to resume your exploration. Explore now. Suddenly, on the northern side of the island, as you're making your way through a maze of jagged ledges that run along the shore, you come upon a strange and disturbing sight. As you step around a tall, jagged shoulder of ledge, looking for some way out of the treacherous maze of rocks and bramble, your eyes suddenly fall upon a startling sight. Directly ahead of you, 24 yards to the west, it's a small, blazing fire. Seated next to the fire, his face turned in profile, is a young man. Something about the young man's face seems familiar. In vague fear, then in an instant your heart skips a beat as the realization strikes you. You're staring at the face of Elbrin, the old man at whose behest you made your way to the island. Okay, this is odd. I mean, he's young here and old there. Elbrin rises and immediately discerns both the fire and the young man standing next to it. Only apparitions. Okay, this is some sort of imprint, I guess, on the land. You're about to step closer, hoping to get a closer look, when something happens that freezes you in mid-step. Seven ghostly, armour-clad figures suddenly emerge from the undergrowth. Only a few yards away from when the apparition of Elbrin stands, the young man swiftly and silently draws his sword, assumes a defensive stance. Without a sound, the seven spirits descend upon the young Elbrin in a savage, frenzied assault, their phantasmal weapons streaking through the air as they play out a scene that originally took place on this very spot many long years ago. The silent apparition of Elbrin suddenly vanishes, and in an instant, as if having sensed your presence, the seven spirits turn their attention to you. Yes, I think they prefer things that can scream. As the gruesome phantoms surge towards you, the waggy tips of their glowing boots floating just inches above the ground, your mind races. You quickly realise that if you choose to hold your ground against this ghostly horde, you'll soon find yourself surrounded with no way to escape. So, if I'm going to have to fight these, it's going to be all of them. Or I could run away. Well, what? Of course I'm going to fight them. That sounds more fun. Although I'm sure running away is also this probably... that would also be interesting, but I'm going to fight them. You bravely hold your ground, position yourself so that you only have to face the seven swiftly advancing spirits one at a time. Well, this is a very tangly place, so it makes it be pretty easy to find some place where it narrows. Unless these are the kind of ghosts that can walk through walls, in which case that won't help at all. The first of the seven armoured spirits rapidly descends upon you, its translucent, misting fingers close tightly around the tip of its glowing weapon. It's a flail-wielding ghost. The armoured spirit swipes at you with its glowing flail, and it's slain. 37 XP, quite a bit. The final blow slices through the glowing, non-corporeal fabric of the armoured spirit, tearing its ghostly torso to shred. Without a sound, the ghost form dissipates into a shimmering cloud of vapour. Right, now you go to the halls of the Allfather. Alright. When whatever bad things you've done, you've probably paid for them many times over by now. The next armoured spirit surges forward and silently attacks, driving you back several feet as you struggle to counter its ferocious assault. It's another flail-wielding ghost. Swipes you with its glowing flail and is slain. Your 37 XP. The final blow shatters, slices right through the glowing non-temporal fragment of the armoured spirit, tearing its ghostly torso to shred. Without a sound, the ghost form dissipates into a shimmering cloud of vapour. The next armoured spirit surges forward and silently attacks, driving you back several feet as you struggle to counter its ferocious assault. It's a mace-wielding ghost. The armoured spirit swipes you with its glowing mace. I swipe with my non-glowing mace, but it's a lot heavier, so I win. It is slain. 37 XP. And it dies like the rest of them. The next armoured spirit surges forward and silently attacks, driving you back several feet as you struggle to counter its ferocious assault. Oh, I just keep getting driven back. Okay, I probably go forward again while I'm fighting them, so it's not like I'm just going to find myself at a cliff edge and just go, Oh yeah, I'm small. Splish. Then I have to swim back round to the one place in the island where you can actually get on the island. Yeah, that'd be awkward. Anyway, mace wielding ghost swipes you with its glowing mace and is slain. Another 37 experience. Axe wielding ghost. There's a variety of weapons. Don't know that really. Yeah, I guess it. A sword-wielding ghost. The armoured spirit slashes you with his glowing sword. Savage blow, 8 damage. Keep going. Smasher wallops it. Another savage blow of like 10 damage or something. Oh, a distant rumble of thunder reaches your ears. A strange item, a wood icon, has appeared amongst your possessions. Yeah, those do just randomly appear in your possessions every now and then. Yeah, they're to do with the whole imbuable equipment. There's an abandoned system. I mean, it's not like it doesn't work, it's just that it's no longer in any way optimal. I mean, the only advantage it does have, it means you can rename your equipment without having to buy expensive in real money terms equipment from packages. So that's something. Your final blow slices right through the glowing non-corporeal fabric of the armoured spirit, tearing its ghostly torso to shreds without a sound. The ghost form dissipates in a shimmering cloud of vapour. The last of the seven spirits surges forward and attacks. It's another sword-wielding ghost. It's not fleeing, so I guess it doesn't particularly care about staying as a ghost. Or it's not in control of its actions. Either way, I somewhat pity it, but I will not. That doesn't mean I'm not going to chop to bash it into little tiny pieces. Those are just the rules of the game. And now it is slain. 38 experience. Alright. I mean, if I was at a much lower MR, I might have found out that the MR level you have to reach for it to be a +9 has been steadily increasing. Your final blow slices right through the glowing, non-corporeal fabric of the armoured spirit, tearing its ghostly torso to shreds without a sound. The ghost form dissipates into a shimmering cloud of vapour. 128 experience to general. Following your victory over the seven ghosts, you make a through a search of the immediate area. Close to where Oberyn's ghost was seated next to the phantasmal fire, you discover a small, rotting wooden box half buried in a damp earth. After digging out the box, you flip open its lid and are surprised to find the decaying container holds a weathered scrap of parchment bearing several faint yet still discernible ink symbols. So you cannot determine what the symbols might mean, you believe they might prove to be of some importance. You carefully tuck away the scrap of parchment in amongst your other belongings. The scrap of weathered parchment. The small scrap of weathered parchment bears several strange symbols inked in black. Though somewhat faded, the symbols, which you cannot seem to comprehend, remain legible. Maybe it will make sense when we get into the tower and we have a puzzle to solve, or something like that. I mean, that's what I'm going for. At last, I don't actually know, because I forgot about this item and those seven ghosts from the last several times I've done this, because that's the thing about it. It's just so much game that you won't remember all of it, even if you've done it several times. Just millions upon millions of words. At last, confident you haven't overlooked anything, you once again set off to resume your exploration of the island. Alright, let's keep exploring. Nothing of particular interest. Nothing of particular interest. Nothing of particular interest. Nothing. Nothing. Alright, it's a Jade Fang Ant. Snaps you with its powerful pincers and is slain for 2 XP. And terrible loot, 6 gold. Explore some more. While exploring the western side of Thorn Island, you discover the tall, narrow mouth of a cave set into the side of a steep, wooded hill. You made a special note of this location, a cave, and may return into the future whenever you explore Thorn Island. Now, since we found it, I presume it does something, because they wouldn't put it up in the game if it didn't do something. That's just how it works. This isn't some sort of Bethesda game where they make the world too big and add a whole load of nothing to it. You're standing just in, I mean, the world is big, it's just that the game doesn't tell you about the, and then you walked past your fifth, and then you walked past another small farm, and another, and then 3 miles of deciduous forest where the only interesting thing you saw was a fox, which ran away the instant you galloped, and it got even slightly close. You're standing just inside the tall, narrow mouth of a cave. The shadowy moor peers out at you from the side of a steep, wooded hill. Outside the mouth of the cave. It will be a tight squeeze. Well, for Sir Croakington. Which is why I have no doubt you could easily fit through the forbidding feature. Enter the cave. You're standing just to the west of the small, narrow fissure through which you entered this damp, gloomy cave. The air is still and cool here, and upon its frequent stirrings, you can detect the unmistakable odour of decaying flesh. Now and again, as you stand listening, you hear the sound of things moving unseen in some far off corner of this dark lair. Okay, I'm on the eastern side of the cave, sort of in the middle. I can go west, and then I can go north from here, and then it splits into two. To the east, you discover signs that suggest a large number of creatures was recently gathered here. End of the cave corridor. Maybe we'll meet them. Or maybe they were smart enough to get out of the way first. And on the western side, same again, large number of creatures. Perhaps they are deeper in the cave. Okay, back to where we went north, now to go west. Suddenly, he freezes mid-step as a small, grey-cloaked figure darts out of the shadows ahead. The figure draws to a halt at the edge of your light and raises its hooded head, revealing the leering face of a golden-skinned goblin. Ooh, it's that guy! Before he can react to the creature's sudden appearance, the goblin turns and swiftly retreats into the gloom. Okay, the glowing goblin was some sort of prankster guy, I guess. But, you know, in a more, ha-ha, you're facing deadly peril sort of way. Definitely one of the more psychotic pranksters who has been turning up for various Halloween events. It just so happens that this is one of the Halloween events that just stuck around. Because while it is spooky, it could fit perfectly well into normal adventures. Indeed, I think I really do prefer it when the GM does that with his seasonal content. He says, alright, yes, it's seasonal content, but you can do it the rest of the year if you want. It's just, we'll turn down the rewards slightly at the end. You know, as a reward, as an incentive to keep turning up. And to reward the long-term players who previously bought, a decade or so back, bought more subscriptions, and now for people who've just been around longer, and so probably bought more packages, or have bought more people to Swift. Alright, okay, I'm going to southeast corner where there's something. What is that something? Well, it's a large number of creatures recently gathered here at the end of the corridor. Okay, let's see. And on the near the northern side, there's another alcove. You're standing in a small, roughly circular chamber just off the broad cave tunnel you've been following. At the back of the chamber, set upon a series of crudely hewn wooden planks, is a gruesome collection of skulls. You make a quick examination of the eerie gallery and discover that a collection of skulls, primarily made up of animal bones, also includes several human specimens. There are non-murdery ways to get human skulls. It's just because, you know, every human that ever dies has had a skull. Okay, except with the exception of two people who had some really seriously messed up fetal problems, but they're so rare that they really wouldn't affect it. And most of those skulls will probably still be around, because bones are tough. And people have these except people who are cremated. Their skulls aren't still around. I wonder. Makes you wonder, out of all the human skulls that have ever grown, how many of them are still around? Because there's no real way of knowing. I mean, you can make an estimate, but it would be just so random. But anyway, definitely billions. Definitely billions of human skulls that you could just find. Find if you know where to look, or just keep looking for long enough, because there's a lot of them. And so wherever humans have been, there will probably be a skull around. Wherever humans have been for a long time, you'll probably find a skull eventually. Unnerved by the find, you decide not to linger here any longer than necessary and immediately prepare to set off on your way. Alright. Okay, the dungeon is now narrowing. It started with a figure of eight, and then it narrows to one passage to the southwest corner. Alright, well, there's in the very southwest corner there's something, and opposite from that you go north to and find a little alcove with nothing. Alright, what is in the southwest corner? Discover signs it's just a large number of creatures was recently gathered here at the end of the cave corridor. Alright, I seem to have been everywhere in this cave and it seems that nothing's turned up yet. We've got these large number of creatures recently gathered here, but maybe something will happen when I try to leave. Leave the cave. You squeeze through the tall, narrow fissure and leave the cave. Maybe all I had to do was meet the glowing goblin. Okay, back to exploring. Suddenly, on a sun-drenched slope, deep in the forest on the southern end of the island, where the mist seems thinner, you happen upon a gruesome discovery. The skeletal remains of a chain-clad man, wedged between two sharp outcroppings of rocks, perhaps the first person who tried the beacon. Some of the bones are missing, and others bear the obvious signs of having been gnawed at by rodents. The chain shirt that still covers the skeleton's torso is hopelessly rusted. As you examine the remains and its immediate surroundings, you're suddenly struck by the horrifying realization that this unfortunate soul appears to have been the victim of a nasty fall that pinned him between two rock outcroppings. You shudder to think of the nightmarish demise the bold adventurer may have suffered here. Perhaps stuck for days before succumbing to starvation, a lack of water, the elements, or worse. No, honestly, I don't think you can get worse than starvation. Okay, I'm sure something they probably figured out that the CIA or other agencies like that probably have a little document of how to kill someone in the worst way possible. And, you know, Dispacco and Nazi stuff. I'm sure they may, other than perhaps some of that, I think starvation is the worst way to die. It takes, amongst other things, so long. And you always know, if you just did this one thing, you might not be okay if you were at the end, but you'll be able to bounce back to something.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Suddenly, just as you're about to continue past the unsettling scene, your keen eyes take notice of something lying further up the slope from where the skeleton rests. There, snagged on a gnarled root, is a worn leather bag. You retrieve the bag and open it, nearly gasping as your eyes fall upon a wound-covered stone jar at the bottom of the sack. You found the jar described to you by Elbwin. Without warning, something heavy lands across the back of your head, sends you sprawling face first onto the ground. The jar flies out of your hands and lies several yards to the right. Okay, don't smash. Please don't smash. As you struggle to regain your feet and determine the source of the blow, a small cloaked figure darts around from behind you and rushes over to the jar. The cloaked figure, its head covered by a hood that's tattered and grimy as the rest of its attire, snatches up the jar and promptly turns to look at you. Your pulse quickens as you find yourself so staring at the sneering, scarred face of a golden-skinned goblin. The hideous creature holds up a long, bony finger and waves it at you disapprovingly. Then, with unnerving swiftness, the goblin turns and bounds up and over the crest of the forested slope. Ignoring the throbbing ache at the back of your skull, you stagger to your feet and rush to the top of the hill. There is no longer any sign of the cloaked goblin. Yeah, well, it's probably magic. Dismayed at having found and then lost the jar that Elbwin says you'll need to capture the flame from the tower's beacon, you resolve to somehow find the goblin and retrieve it. With this thought foremost on your mind, you quickly check over your gear before once again resuming your exploration of the aisle. Okay, I'm just going to explore. I'll explore a few times, and if that doesn't turn up something, I'll go back to the cave, explore. There's a nothing. Tri-jaws, just going to quick combat them. 5 XP. You pause to catch your breath and check over your equipment, following the death of the 3 tri-jaws. Alas, certain you're no longer in any immediate, imminent danger here, you once again set off to resume your exploration. Explore some more. That's a nothing. Oozing beetle. Quick combat, oh, there's a law book entry for that. If I'm counting the other one, another one, I'll read it. 2 XP. There's a nothing. 4 hideable beetles. A sturdy quarterstaff and 14 gold. Of course, the quarterstaff is gold, it's just heavier. You made a special note of this location, a strange tunnel, and may return to it in the future whenever you explore Thorn Island. You're standing just before a broad mouth of a tunnel that plungs into the side of a Wogstone Hill. I think I missed a couple of lines of text. Oh well, I don't think it was that critical. You're just going to have to play the game yourself to figure it out what I missed. And then you can tell me, "Aye, you missed this, you silly, silly person. Here it is, in the comments or on the Swift Discord." in a tangled swath of forest at the centre of Thorn Island. The arch that frames the mouth of the tunnel is made up of massive stone blocks. Beyond the arch, a wide passage extends out of sight, swiftly disappearing into the gloom. Well, let's enter the tunnel. Okay, this is definitely Maeve, which indicates there'll be, whether it was important in the past, but whether it was important now, remains to be seen. Although it's a place you could go, so that means it is important. Because this game doesn't put you, you don't go to useless places. I mean, you go there, but it's just not written about. Enter the tunnel. Okay, I'm on the northwest side. You're standing just inside the broad mouth of the tunnel. To the west, the light of day spills across the threshold of this steeply sloped passage. To the east, the tunnel plunges into darkness. Okay, let's go east. Go east again. Here's a question mark coming up. A web of golden energy suddenly appears, spanning the full breadth of the passage ahead. You attempt to approach the strange barrier, only to be repelled by a powerful, invisible force. Unable to determine a way past the web of energy, you retreat along the corridor. Okay, maybe that scrap of weathered parchment, use. Not yet. Alright, leave the tunnel. Move away from here. Let's keep exploring. Three tridors. Keep exploring. You stretch far, trek far and wide across the tangled veil, but discover nothing of any particular interest. Keep exploring. That's a nothing. You made a special note of this location, the abandoned tower, and may return to it in the future whenever you explore Thorn Isle. Rising up out of the tangled veil, stretching just above the tops of the ancient trees that ring the rim of the deep ravine, is a legendary tower of Thorn Isle. The upper portions of the imposing structure are obscured by the whirling mist that continues to sweep over the island. High above, its golden glow piercing the veil of fog. You can make out what can only be the light from the enchanted flame of the tower's beacon. The wall that once surrounded the tower is now nothing more than a few scattered heaps of rubble. A heavy wooden door, showing no signs of decay, stands close beneath an ornate arch set into the tower's base. Now, I'm going to put off entering this tower for now, because I don't really think, because we ain't got the, I've not got the jar yet, so I can't get the flame, so I don't think there's any reason to go into the tower yet. Move away from here, continue on your way. Keep exploring. Nothing of particular interest. Nothing of particular interest. It's a nothing. 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 Random combat. 3 XP. Nothing. Oozing beetles. These black-shelled beetles, slightly larger than a dog. Ooze a foul-smelling yellow slime. Quick combat. 2 XP. Terrible loot. Okay. 3 armored scavengers. Quick combat those. Oh, another wood icon has appeared in my inventory. As well as 4 XP. Keep exploring. A jade fang ant. Keep exploring. Okay. 5 more explorations and I'm going to check out the first cave. 1, that's a leafy prowler. 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, time to check out the first cave. Enter the cave. The second one's called an abandoned tunnel. It has a different name because this cave was formed naturally, and the tunnel, at least to some extent, was man-made. Although I suspect they started with a hole that was already there just to save time. Alright, here's the part, there's the skulls. Alright. You freeze in mid-step as a small, grey-cloaked figure darts out of the shadows ahead. As the figure draws to halt at the edge of your light, you immediately recognise it to be the hooded, golden-skinned goblin who stole the wound-covered jar. Before you can react to the creature's sudden appearance, the goblin turns and retreats swiftly into the gloom. Alright. Okay, we're in the right place. Alright, let's try out the northeastern. Oh, here we are. It's that goblin again. But he turns and retreats into the gloom. A series of ghastly shrieks suddenly erupt out of the darkness ahead. The horrid cries echo along the passage of the horde of scrawny, grey-skinned goblins emerge from the gloom. Before you can even attempt to retreat, the vile creatures surge forward and surround you, cutting off any hope of escape. You finally engage your savage foes. The first of the grey goblins bound forward and attacks, his crude bone weapon poised to deal you a nasty blow. Okay, I think something's been done to these goblins. And I think the glowing goblin is probably behind it. Grey goblin. The goblin strikes you with his crude weapon of bone, slain. 9 XP. The grey goblin collapses onto the floor of the cave, slumping into an ever-widening pool of his own blood. The next grey goblin leaps at you, swiping out with its crude weapon of bone. Strikes you with a crude weapon of bone, is slain, 9 XP. Dies like the first one. Just spamming my way through these, another 9 XP, 9, that is 4. Another 9 XP, number 5, the penultimate of this set, there'll be more. 10 XP. The grey goblin collapses into a heap onto the floor of the cave, slumping into an ever-widening pool of his own blood. Well, at least it has blood. The last of the grey goblins hurls itself at you in a frenzied attack, striking out wildly with its crudely fashioned bone weapon. The goblin strikes you with his crude weapon of bone and is slain. 11 XP. Yep, they're getting tougher. That's the usual rule with when you fight a line of enemies. The grey goblin collapses onto the floor of the cave, slumping into an ever-widening pool of his own blood. 64 XP to general. With the last of the grey goblins lying in a bloodied heap at your feet, you step back and lean up. No, but Sokovia wouldn't really be... let's just say she does the equivalent of leaning up against a damp cave wall, struggling to catch your breath as your eyes scour the surrounding darkness for any further sign of the wretched creatures. Amidst the remains of your slain foes, you discover a small quantity of gold, just 47, but it all adds up. At last, confident you're no longer in any imminent danger, you check over your equipment before once again setting off through the gloom. Okay, that's the southeast. The southeast corner cleared. And the golden goblin is turned up again. But then it then runs away. Okay, and just 2 steps to the west of that, a series of ghastly shrieks suddenly erupt out of the darkness ahead. A horrid echo The horrid cries echo along the passage as a horde of scrawny, grey-skinned goblins emerge from the gloom before you can even attempt to retreat. The vile creatures surge forward and surround you, cutting off any hope of escape. You defiantly engage your savage foes. Okay, Grey Goblin 1 of 5. It fights like the first ones. Crude weapon of bone. And they die like the first ones as well. Alright, there's 2. And here's 3. As they go down very easily, because as a seasonal event, when this was down, it was designed to be finishable by pretty much anybody, by anyone who, even if you just started the game a couple of days ago, and the only thing you've done is Caves of Westwold. I'm not sure if Savage Wild was around at the time. Strikes you with Cruel Weapon of Bone. Probably wasn't. You've stained your foe. 9 XP. The last of the Grey Goblins hurls itself at you in a frenzied attack, striking out wildly with crudely fashioned bone weapon, Grey Goblin 5 of 5. It is slain as I rolled a 20, doing 39 damage and an 11 from the Smasher walloping it. 10 XP. The Grey Goblin collapses onto the floor of the cave, slumping into an ever-widening pool of its own blood. 64 XP to General. With the last of the Grey Goblins lying in a bloodied heap at your feet, you step back and I guess just lie against the floor. I guess that's how a toad would relax. Circling to catch your breath as your eyes scour the surrounding darkness for any further sign of the wretched creatures. Amidst the remains of your slain foes, you discover a small quantity of gold, just 20. At last, confident you're no longer in any imminent danger, you check over your equipment before once again setting off through the gloom. Alright, let's find those other passages. Alright, southeast corner. The Golden Goblin turned up again, but then when? And here it is. A series of ghastly shrieks suddenly erupt out of the darkness ahead. The horrid cries echo along the passage as a horde of scrawny, grey-skinned goblins emerge from the gloom. Even before you can even attempt to retreat, the vile creatures surge forward and surround you, cutting off any hope of escape. You defiantly engage your savage foes. Alright, just 4 of them this time. Just bash, 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 bash. 1, 9 XP. Number 2, bash, 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 bash. For another 9 XP. Number 3, bash, bash. There were less bashes because these bashes were harder. Alright, it's the last of them. The last of the Grey Goblins hurls itself at you in a frenzied attack, striking out wildly with its crudely fashioned bone weapon. I have a feeling it doesn't really have a choice in the matter. Although being a goblin, it might have done it even if it did have a choice. And bash. 9 XP. Pool of its own blood. 64 XP to General. With the last of the Grey Goblins lying a bloodied heap at your feet, you step back and lean up against the damp cave wall. Let's just say something, that's what happened. Struggling to catch your breath as your eyes scour the surrounding darkness for any further sign of the wretched creatures. Amidst the remains of your slain foes, you discover a small quantity of gold, presumably in several even smaller piles. At last, confident you're no longer in any imminent danger, you check over your equipment before once again setting off through the gloom. Okay, I think there's one more set of these Grey Goblins to deal with in the southwest corner. A series of ghastly shrieks suddenly erupt out of the darkness ahead. The horrid cries echo along the passage as a horde of scrawny, grey-skinned goblins emerge from the gloom. Before he can even attempt to retreat, the vile creatures surge forward and surround you, cutting off any hope of escape. You defiantly engage your savage foes. Alright, I'm just going to quick combat these now. That's one, two, three, four, and the last of the grey goblins hurls itself at you in a frenzied attack, striking out wildly with his crudely fashioned bone weapon. Grey goblin fire of five, I'll finish it off manually, and it is slain. 10 XP. The grey goblin collapses onto the floor of the cave, slumping onto an ever widening pool of his own blood. 64 XP to general. With the last of the grey goblins lying in a bloodied heap at your feet, you step back and lean up against the damp cave wall, struggling to catch your breath as your eyes scour the surrounding darkness for any further sign of the wretched creatures. Amidst the remains of your slain foes, you discover a small quantity of gold. 35 gold tokens. At last, confident you're no longer in any imminent danger, you check over your equipment before once again setting off through the gloom. Okay, just filling in the gaps. Has anything happened with the pile of skulls? Seemingly no. Alright, let's get out of here. Either something will happen when I try to leave, or maybe this has unlocked something somewhere else. Suddenly, alright, very near the exit and this has turned up. Your progress along the cave passage comes to an abrupt halt as a small, hooded figure steps into view out of the darkness ahead. The figure throws back its hood, revealing the scarred, sneering face of a golden-skinned goblin. A lurid, yellow glow emanates from every exposed inch of the goblin's flesh, giving the creature an eerie, ghoulish appearance. You realise immediately that the sinister being standing less than 10 yards from you is none other than the infamous Glowing Goblin, who has a lorebook entry. The Glowing Goblin. This strange creature, who earned his name from the lurid golden glow that emanates from his equally golden skin, has long been the subject of many legends throughout the North Broadlands. Most accounts feature the sinister goblin as a master thief who steals valuable treasures and hoards them away in his secret lair. He most often appears in large cities, and many of the previous limited time seasonal events with him were in cities, but others weren't. Others believe the glowing goblin is an agent and employ of some greater and far more sinister figure. The few times either adventurers or city guardsmen have caught up with a foul creature have ended with the goblin escaping, often after slaying one or more of his pursuers. The renowned adventurer Tallies claims to have defeated the glowing goblin in the city of Trithic more than 20 years ago. Tallies recalls the glowing goblin's body vanished after it was slain, and in its place he found 3 strange silver coins, each bearing an engraving of the snarling goblin's head. And finding those coins was the point of one of those seasonal events. Tallies' account has led to widespread speculation that the goblin is not a creature of this world. The glowing goblin, his face frozen in a cruel, exaggerated grin, draws back his white arm and twitches his long, bony fingers. A spinning wreath of fire appears and hovers just above his claw-tipped fingers. With a sharp hiss, the wretched creature hurls the deadly, blazing wreath at you. Okay, I've got options. Fortification, shadow magic, elementalism, or dodge the weave of fire. I'll go for elementalism. Succeeded. 8 XP to shadow magic. You channel your power of shadow magic. A chorus of shrill whispers fills your head as two long bands of gloom sliver off the cave walls and instantly stretch out beneath before you, weaving themselves into a massive web of shadow. The weave of fire strikes the shadow barrier and is promptly and completely swallowed up by the impenetrable gloom. Okay, the glowing goblin, his face frozen in a cruel, exaggerated grin, draws back his white arm and twitches his long, bony fingers. A spinning weave of fire appears and hovers just above the claw-tipped fingers. With a sharp hiss, the wretched creature hurls the deadly blazing weave at you. Okay, I've done shadow magic. Let's try elementalism. Succeeded. 16 XP to elementalism. You summon your power of elementalism. You focus your elemental power on the weave of fire and manage to reduce the deadly hurtling blaze to a crumbling wing of cinders. The smouldering remains of the flaming weef land harmlessly at your feet. Okay, it's doing the same thing again, but now the check is a 70 plus. Which means, of course, when this was put out, and a lot of new characters were doing it, they'll just dodge. But I'm going to use fortification instead. 24 experience to fortification. You summon your power of fortification. A shimmering dome of green sparkles descends over you only a split second before the arrival of the weave of flame. The deadly, hurtling blaze slams into your magical barrier and explodes, leaving you unscathed. The glowing goblin grins, exposing a mouthful of jagged, half-rotted fangs. The creature's grin rapidly twists into a scowl as he draws out a long-bladed knife. "All my pretty fire is gone," he says, hissing with every breath. "It'll take just a moment to conjure up some more, but if you'd be so kind as allow me..." "Oh, never mind any of that. I'll just be happy to slice you open. You'll never get back. You're never getting back the jar. It's now mine." Okay, honestly, I think I don't know how I feel about that voice. With a single guttural snarl, the glowing goblin bounds forward and attacks, viciously slashing out at you with his deadly blade. It's a glowing goblin now. I could equip the goblin doom to make it easier, but nah. You haven't earned my respect to be killed by a special weapon. Begin combat. The glowing goblin slashes you with his long bladed knife. Keep going, just fighting normally. I go into a battle wage. Enemy deals you a savage blow for 9 damage, and again for 9 damage, and again for 9 damage, and 17 damage. Oh, he's getting a lot of hits in. Oh, I go into battle rage again. "Stop taking so long to die! And stop stealing my stuff! Which I just took. But I was given permission to have it!" You have slain your foe. 73 experience, then 128 experience to general. The glowing goblin shrieks and slumps to the ground, his head coming to rest in a widening pool of blood in the centre of the chamber. The strange creature's patched grey cloak falls gently over his prone form. You prod at the lump under the cloak with your foot, only to discover there is nothing there. The glowing goblin's corpse has disappeared. You lift up the tattered cloak and are elated to find the wound-covered jar resting underneath. Wasting no time, you reach down and take possession of the jar. Numerous wounds are engraved on the rough, uneven surface of this heavy earthenware jar. This is Elbrin's enchanted jar. According to Elbrin, it's the only vessel capable of holding the magical flame from the beacon that burns atop the abandoned tower on Thorn Isle. With the glowing goblin now gone, you hope he's gone for good, though I suspect he could come back, maybe in a future Halloween, although he has been tormenting other worlds for a while. You make a quick check over your equipment before setting off to find your way out of the cave. Alright, leave the cave. Now, we've passed an hour, so actually going into the tower itself, that will be for the next episode. I don't remember how long the tower will take, but well, if we're too short, we'll find something else. There is a few mini adventures still to do in Western Tysa. Take the road back to Arngard. You climb above the small grey cleft and set out across the frigid lake, rowing through a rolling bank of mist as you leave the grim spectre of Thorar behind. When you reach the western shore of the lake, you hide the boat near the water's edge, just north of Arngard. And here we are in Arngard, safe spot, someone fully healed. Alright, time to save, so in the next episode, we'll be going back to Thorn Island. Hopefully we won't be encountering the glowing goblin again. But with a creature like that, you can never be sure. And we'll be going up the tower. I assume solving at least one puzzle, probably several. Probably fighting monsters. Getting past traps and various tower things. And then we're going to climb up the tower, which I'm thinking might have several floors. Get up the tower, find the flame, put a bit of it in the jar, and then we can give it back to Elbrin. And he can do whatever he was going to do with it. But until then, farewell, fellow adventurers.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.